Well, I think I've made everyone sufficiently uncomfortable up to this point. I'm sure some of you are a little confused at this point. I'm sure the tech crew was trying to figure out where I was going with that, and the fact that we're projecting dead air for those watching on our internet transmissions of our service. I'm sure some of you may have been thinking, did he forget what he was going to say? He kind of looks like he knows what he's doing. And I'm sure some of you even then may have been giving sidewards glances towards Pastor Barry or Graham, thinking, are they going to do something? He hasn't said anything yet. But I think it's interesting how uncomfortable it was for me being up here to know that there's something expected at this point in the service of me, and to purposely withhold that from you for a time just to make silence. Unscheduled silence, silence that we're not prepared for, empty space, can be a really, really uncomfortable thing. I mean, our lives work in such a way that we are naturally busy. Our culture dictates to us that busy is better. I mean, there are many, many, many examples of this, but I mean, take movie theaters, for instance. Wasn't that long ago that you would go watch a movie, and there would be a screen that the movie would play on, and there would be sound? Now there are approximately four different types of movies you can go to see. You can go to see a regular movie. You can go see a 3D movie. You can go see an IMAX movie, which has a screen 60 feet tall. Or you can go see an AVX movie with wider, more comfortable seating and a big screen, and you can actually pick your seats before you go to the theater. Our culture works in a way that we're always trying to figure out the bigger and better way to do something. Organizations that have drive-thrus are perfect examples of this. They are constantly trying to come up with more innovative, creative ways to shave off seconds off their drive-thru time, because every second they shave off means more cars through the drive-thru, which means more product bought, which means higher profits. Our whole culture is built around a pace of life that is fast, that is filling, that is complete. And because of that, our own lifestyles tend to follow that exact same model. Not that I was around 30 years ago, but from what I understand and from what people tell me, life is busier now than it used to be. There's more things that demand our time than there used to be. Many of us have our 9-to-5 jobs. Some of us have jobs that take time into the evenings and weekends. A lot of us have friends from many years ago that we see on occasion, those who maybe have moved away and come back from time to time into town. And we all have our friends that we're closest with, that we spend the most time with, and we see the most regularly. A lot of us are married and have spouses that take up a certain amount of time and energy and effort that we put into that relationship. Some of us have kids. And from what I understand, kids take a whole realm of energy and effort to raise, to educate, to teach, to instruct, to guide. And even those kids have their own circles of friends, of activities, of sports, of musical programs. And even then, we also have our houses to think about. The housework that needs to be done, those on-the-go projects, the remodeling that we have in the back of our mind that eventually we'd like to get to doing. And it's all circling around our minds at all points in all times of the day. And it takes our focus and our attention. I think the younger generation, including myself, we're even a little more interested in keeping our attention on multiple things at once. I think of a lot of students nowadays who can't work on their homework without either music playing in the background or a television set going or another window where they're checking their email. We always need to be plugged into multiple things at the same time to get what we need accomplished. There's so many things that are cramming for our attention at any given point in time. Our schedules are too full. But that's what our society says is normal.
Busier is better.
Busier means results. Results, higher productivity, and more things get done. Between all of these different things that we have in our lives, between all of the different things that are clamoring for our attention, free time or space can be something that is a luxury at best. For some of us, it's a nice idea, but something that just never happens. On really, really busy days of my life, where I'm running around getting stuff done and it doesn't seem to be a spare moment, I kind of think to myself, is this the way it was supposed to be like? I'm exhausted, I'm tired, the to-do list is getting bigger rather than smaller, no matter how many things I cross off. And I think to myself, is this really the pace of life that we're meant to keep? And when I think those questions to myself, of what was something supposed to be like? The answer is pretty simple and pretty straightforward. We just got to jump into Scripture and look to Genesis 1. Look to the garden. Look and ask ourselves, what was life like back then for those who were there? Their life was pretty straightforward and simple. Their activities, as listed, were very few. They were to live in community with God. They were to live in this time where they spent a regular amount of intentional space in an intimate and personal atmosphere with God. They spent time in His presence in a face-to-face way. And they spent time in conversation with Him, in speaking and listening and hearing and dialoguing back and forth. But once they ate of the fruit, the parameters of that relationship changed. Sin changed what that intimate and personal could look like. It was no longer the face-to-face relationship with God that they had, but it was still simply just as important to spend that time with God. But now the responsibility is more so on humanity because of the decisions that Adam and Eve made. It's no longer possible to sit in front of God. So this responsibility now falls on humanity to be more actively seeking opportunity to engage with God. And this space is not the same as it used to be. Now God as well, when He created the world, He created a time of space. As Genesis tells us, He created for 6 days and on the seventh day He rested. I used to think when I was in Sunday school as a really small kid, the terror that I was, that this meant that God was exhausted and He needed a break. I pictured Him on this giant cloud-made lazy boy with a little recliner that popped up and angels would fly him cool little iced teas and so forth. And I used to think it was because God needed a time of respite, rest, and rejuvenation. But it wasn't that case at all. The God that we worship is a God of infinite power and ability. And it wasn't for His own need that He took the seventh day to rest, but it was to model for us a lifestyle that we are meant to live, where we give for a certain time, but there is a sectioned off section where it is not our responsibility to be doing something. Now, this Sabbath day took many different forms, as you can read through the Scriptures, and many different people took it very differently in terms of what that was supposed to mean. Some would even quantify it to a point of there are only so many steps you are allowed to take on a Sabbath day. Only so far you are allowed to go away from your house. So they would scatter possessions of theirs throughout the town so that at any given point they could still go about their day without breaking the Sabbath law of being so far away from your house in terms of how many steps you are allowed to take. Some see Sabbath rest as a very legalistic thing, but it was always meant to be very plain and simple in its purpose. To create a space to disconnect from the daily and connect to God. To connect in a soul environment where the only thing needed to focus on is Him. Now, we're all very, very different people. We all have different preferences, different interests, different ideas, different ways of looking at the same thing. And in that sense, we all have different ways in which we can connect best to God. I mean, when we look at the scriptures, we see all sorts of different examples of ways in which people connected to God. David sang and danced in front of the altar of God, a physical expression of the joy that was in his heart that he could not hold it in any other way. The disciples spent time receiving instruction by listening, by sitting at Jesus' feet with an open ears and to the best of their ability, an open mind to just listen and absorb. Paul, formerly Saul, he learned to listen to God when he had no other options. After he was struck blind and he could no longer do what it was that he normally did, he finally came to a point where his heart was open enough to listen to the Lord by sitting and doing nothing. And Jesus himself regularly withdrew from ministry for a time of dialogue with God. Many different instances in Scripture do we see Jesus purposefully walking away from a place or a time to go spend time alone in prayer with the Lord. Each one of these people was very different, but their goal was always the same. Each of these people learned differently, thought differently, but all the same connected with God in a way that best suited them. They drew from God differently and learned how to best connect to Him by intentionally making space. Now, space does not quite happen on its own. It's not something that just appears, or free time doesn't stay free on its own. This week was a perfect example of that for me. Ashley was gone to Florida for some training for her teaching position, and I was alone for the week from Saturday to Friday. And I thought to myself, this is going to be fantastic. I can relax, no responsibilities, no extra to-do list items, and I can just take some me time. Now, I knew we had our junior high sports camp this week, which was quite an amazing experience. We had a number of different high school students come out and volunteer their own time and get some leadership opportunity to actually lead a group of younger people by educating sports, by displaying leadership and getting the opportunity to do so. And we had all of these different junior highs from all different connections through our church, some through our Awana program, some through our morning break. We had a few that, in all honesty, I have no idea where they came from. And they don't seem to have any connection to any church or any church ministry of any form. And this week was a fantastic opportunity to make connections, to grow with youth. And it was a huge success on all fronts, for those leading it and for those who were here. So I knew I had this sports camp coming up in the afternoons, and I thought to myself, oh, this is going to be great. I've got my mornings to myself, my evenings to myself. And by about Sunday afternoon, my week started to get pretty full. There were a couple different people that I ended up having dinner throughout the week. I decided to go watch a baseball game on Monday night. I had my sermon to get ready for, so I ended up coming in the mornings. I met with some other youth pastors this week for some project planning that we've been working on. And by Monday morning, my days from 7:30 a.m. through, on average, 10 p.m. were completely booked all day. And it happened really quickly. But most importantly, it happened like that because I allowed it to. Because I didn't put any parameters down for myself to make sure that I'm going to have my free time here. Or this is going to be a time where I just focus on my relationship with God and growing that. My week all of a sudden went from 0 to 60 in 2 hours, and it was my fault. Now, as the week went on, I did manage to carve out some time. I did shuffle some commitments around, so I did end up getting that opportunity to sit down and spend some time with the Lord. But it was all that much harder to do so when the schedule was full. And each one of us, like we looked at in terms of these biblical figures, is different. We all learn differently. We all connect differently. So part of the onus is on our part to discover what is it that is unique to us in our relationship with God. What is our best learning style? What activity is it that we best feel a connection to God through? Is it through music and prayer? Music and worship? Is it through reading either the scripture or books written about the scripture? Is it through an active service where you are actually doing something the Bible mandates you to do? Each one of these is all completely relevant and important in our relationship to God. But generally, each one of us will connect more securely to one than the other. I was away at a camp this summer, and I remember hearing a pastor asked, what will heaven be like? Will we be like constantly sitting at God's feet and giving him praises? And the pastor said, to be honest, that sounds a little more like hell to me. He was being very comedic in his response, but it displayed very much that he was not someone who connected to God very much through music, through singing. That was not the way in which he felt God speaking to him or felt any new revelations from God. And he would go about his own spiritual life in such a way that he would find what it was that worked for him. And that is what he would focus his devotional time on. So as we figure out what this is for each of us, whether it's service, worship, whether it's taking time reading, when we figure out what it is, that thing that connects best with us and our personalities, that medium that we connect to God through, we need to take it and we need to create some space around the outside of it. We need to make some time for prayer before and after. Before we do this act in which we connect to God in some way, shape, or form, we need to prepare for it by laying a foundation of prayer. And we need to pray afterwards to thank God for it and to ask him for anything that he has for us to hear, to learn, to see, to be a part of. Now that time of prayer needs to have two aspects to it. The first, where you're speaking to God, where you're giving him your adoration, confession, your thanksgiving and supplication, where you are talking. And the second part, where you shut up, where you keep your thoughts to yourself and give God an opportunity to give something back to you. In our prayer time, if we're the only one doing the talking, we're not providing God any space, any opportunity to speak back to us. In all of our prayer times, there needs to be an opportunity where we give it to God and say, this is your time to do with me what you want. To delve your hands into my heart and soul and twist whatever you like around. To start aligning in my life what's important, or to give me something that I didn't know that I needed to. We need to add this time of silence to our prayer and be intentional about making sure it's there. Now finally, once we've figured out what this thing is that we do that God speaks to us well through, and we've got that prayer time around it, we need to book some space for it. To take space, to make space, to find space, or create space. And this may be something as legalistic as taking your calendar for the week and saying, Thursday night I have a free hour between when dinner finishes at 7 and my TV show is on at 8:30. So that time is going to be mine, where I am going to retreat from all of the responsibilities, all of the media outlets, all of the different things that clamor for my attention. Whether, guys, that's for you, a lawn chair in the garage or hiding in a corner of the basement, or for women, whether you have a space within your house or it's heading off to Tim Hortons. We need to not only be intentional about creating the space, but seeking it out. And the best thing that we can do to make sure that we do that is to be accountable about it. To tell your spouse, your best friend, your parent, whatever that might be, that I'm going to do this. I'm going to go and spend some time over the next little while or tomorrow night or whenever that might be, and I am going to just do some prayer and some scripture reading and see what God has for me. Because when you do that, you're creating an environment where people can check on your goals. You're creating an environment where people can measure your success on what you said you wanted to do. It's really easy to fail at a goal that you never told anyone about because nobody ever knows. Nobody ever can encourage you in your success or encourage you in your next attempt because you kept it to yourself. Not only is this onus on us as individuals to create this space, to pause our lives enough to spend some time with God, but it's also about each one of us looking to our families, looking to our friends and asking them, how are you doing with this? Are you taking the time with God that you need? And to help encourage each other in such a way that we can all find that opportunity, that we can all slow down enough, because sometimes it's really hard to slow down the bus that's already in motion. But if we look to each other to help with our loads, they get so much lighter. And that's exactly the community that was always intended. But our relationship with God is very much a work produces results kind of a relationship. When we put work in by reading the scriptures, by spending time in prayer, by seeking out God's directions, good things happen in our lives. We grow, we get more disciplined. Just like our culture values work equals product, our relationship with God in that way is very similar. The more you invest, the more you get back. And the rate of return is actually quite amazing, depending on how much effort you put into it. More effort, more result. Now, as I was preparing this sermon, I got to this point in the service where we start talking about the practical application steps. And I thought to myself, all right, how are we going to do this? We could probably throw like a calendar up there and show some diagram of us booking space. Or better yet, maybe I could ask you guys all to like sit down and write something out on a piece of paper about how you're going to approach maybe this next week differently. Or maybe a cool way to do it would be have you guys like split off in little small groups and talk to each other for a few minutes.
But then I got the idea, why not just take space now? Why not take some time to do what we're preaching about this morning? To unplug, to disconnect, and to see God. And I thought, that is so much better than me trying to tell you what might work best for you. So this morning, we're going to do this in a twofold approach, through two different little activities here. The first is that we're going to have a song played, and the words for it will be up on the screen. The song was written as a dialogue between someone and God about the life that they're living right now and the things that they'd like to see happen. As this song is playing, I'd like you to try to think to yourself, what is it that God is trying to speak to you that maybe you're too busy to hear? What is the message that God has for you in your life at this moment, at this point in time, that maybe you've been a little too busy to hear, rightfully or wrongfully so? And as this song plays, I want it to be just a time of personal reflection. Once the song finishes, Dory's going to play some music for us. Just some background music, and I want this to be your opportunity to meet the Lord in prayer. To bring to Him for a minute or so whatever revelation or thought that's bouncing around in your mind. And then I want you to do nothing. Just focus your heart and mind on God. Clear it of as many thoughts as you possibly can. And ask God the question, what do you want of me? And after a few minutes of time of reflection, I'll come up and we'll give the benediction for the service. So if the tech guys are ready and we could have that played. Thank you.
I get so busy rushing around, trying hard to keep my ground. Things to do, people to see, places to go. Reminding me.